This is this commandment. We're in session 13, if you can believe it. And this session is entitled, The Guiding Principle of Life. What I want us to do in this session today is I want us to think about the greatest commandment from another angle. We've been approaching it from a lot of different perspectives. We've been looking at it, the way of love. We've been looking at it as the way to have an invigorated heart, a good heart. All of those things are true. But I think it's something even bigger, and maybe something that we don't initially have when we read the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is the all-encompassing way intended for man to live. I think it's actually the governing principle for our lives. And so with that thought process in mind, the idea that the greatest commandment isn't just the way God feels about us, it's also the prescription for how man is supposed to live. Let's read it again. So Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. I wanted to talk about today, this is the all-encompassing way to live. The way that ought to touch all of our thoughts and decisions, the thing that ought to be on our mind and the way that we're processing. I want us to think about the greatest hit as the filter for how we make our decisions. The filter to carry our emotions. The governing principle that our lives aren't our own, our lives belong to the greatest commandment. And that we make our decisions out of the greatest commandment. We process life and relationships. We do it all through the lens, the filter of the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment would be a filter that catches, that strains out all kinds of stuff. The greatest could keep us thinking certain ways, keep us from thinking certain ways, would keep us commit certain objectives, keep us committed to never touch other objectives. That the greatest would be the governing principle of the way that we run our things, our church, our small group, our own lives, the way we navigate our own emotions and our soul. I want us to talk today about this being a great filter, the governing principle. We're going to get more to that. As a little snapshot of the heading, here's a couple of questions. How does this current moment, the current decision, my current attitude, or my current response reflect loving with my heart? How am I doing in this moment, in this conversation, in this situation, with loving God with all my heart? Because that's really what he's after. It's supposed to be a personal interface and real deep. It's not an idea. It's not a cute concept. Actually the filter through which the believer is supposed to approach everything. Whatever we do, Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 1. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And that's, of course, very greatest commandment language, is that we would love our heart and be glorified. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, he starts listing off something. He's like, really, just whatever you do. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're giving yourself to, whatever you do, do it with God in mind. And it's really with the love of God in mind. It's not just thinking of God far off. We've done enough in this study to recognize he's very near. It's doing whatever it is that we do with him in mind, his glory. It's a pretty fun idea, actually. We're going to end today's session with just a challenge to reset. Because I think today's message might particularly hit some of you and give you the strength you needed to say yes again. And I'm praying, Father, I pray for the strength that is needed for each one in this room to say yes again at a deeper level to the greatest commandment. Well, let's think about the greatest commandment as the instruction manual. You know, one of the things that's so frustrating to me is whenever I get an instruction manual and it's like 2 pages long, I look at it, you know, how do you get this piece of furniture from IKEA? Ah, I'm toast. My patience lasts about half an hour. And then the other, you know, 71 and a half pages, it's not going to happen, man. It's just not going to happen. I love thinking about the greatest commandment, all whatever, 23 words or whatever it is. I mean, it's not that long. That's the instruction manual. Let's think about that, those two verses, those, you know, three lines. Let's think about that as the instruction manual for life. Because actually the instruction of how we're supposed to live. It should infiltrate and touch every situation. Every circumstance, every question, every relationship. I mean, there may be some other things that would be helpful to get you even yet in your understanding in this situation, in this response, in this scenario. But I guarantee this commandment is the most important dynamic related to anything you can think about or do. It's the instruction manual. It's actually the way that we're to live our lives. It's the thing that we're supposed to be giving ourselves to. I'm going to give you a couple of verses here that just paint a very interesting picture of who we are and where our hearts are before the Lord helps us. Any of you just get a sinking feeling in your gut already? All right, Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts, not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I just want to say it this way. Man doesn't even know. We need a manual. Man does not know what he ought to do. Man does not know the way. He says, neither are my ways your ways. Hebrews 3:10 says in a similar way, their hearts are always going astray. And they ways. It's God declaring that our ways aren't ways. He's got way, and our heart is always wanting to go a different way besides his way. The greatest commandment helps realign. It gets us back into what matters, what's important. How do we process again and again? We need to be thinking about the greatest commandment as God's way for us. So the man doesn't know his ways, but I've got ways. Man's heart is always trying to lead him astray, but he told us what the greatest thing on his mind was. It's the constant reading. If we will give ourselves as much as we can in the next week and next year even more to the greatest commandment will constantly realign us to what God says is the most important thing on the planet. To the way that the human is to navigate. To the way that we're to live our lives. It's the instruction manual. And I love it when an instruction manual is 23 words long. Somebody count the words. I don't know the real number. I love it. I can handle 23 words. Got this. That's how simple it is, and I want to tell you, it's that simple. It's that simple. We will begin to process everything through those few words, what Jesus identified as the greatest commandment. It will be a filter for our life that will be so helpful. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 14:1. We actually read it two times. It was fresh in my heart. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love. And eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I just want to focus on the way of love. See, man doesn't know his own way. God has a way for us, and we're supposed to follow that way. Follow the way of love. It's the greatest commandment. Follow the greatest commandment in the way that we interact with each other, the way that we interact with God. Follow the greatest commandment. It's a way of love. It's a way. It's not just an idea. It's not a philosophy. It's life. It's a way that we are to follow. We look at the instruction manual, again, all 23 words or whatever it is. We look at it and we go, I'm committed to follow. This, I will give my life to this. I will give my life to the first and the greatest commandment to Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'll give myself to it. Follow the way of love. Ephesians 5 says it certainly. It's still this manual concept, though. Ephesians 1 through 2, follow God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love. Live in the way of love. Follow the way of love. Walk in the way of love. You know, if we can actually get this practical and just start to think about those questions I was asking earlier, the kind of little snapshot. Think about that filter of those questions related to the greatest can be expressed, that conversation you're having, the response that you gave that person, the way that you're interacting in that environment, the way that you're handling this, the way that you're processing things in your mind about this. If we can allow the greatest commandment to inform our decisions, this is the way. This is the way. I mean, for us thinking about, is this honoring God, is that I'm actually loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength in this thing? See, I think what we've done often with the concept of the greatest commandment is we think of it only as the overarching, arch over arch. What will be said about the Lord in 20, 30 years? Good. What will be said of you after 20, 30, 50 seconds? What will be said of you related to this situation where you love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in that conversation, in this interaction, in that response? See, because 30, 40 years is just made up of a bunch and bunch times a bunch, 30 seconds. That's all it is. Let's think about it now. Let's get it now. How am I responding? What's in my heart? How am I responding to you? Am I allowing my flesh to rage, or am I myself to commitment, this walking in the way of love? Let's talk about this great filter thing. The filter for what we do, the filter for what we think, straining out what is unhelpful. Corinthians 16, 14 says, do everything in love. Everything. Do everything. It's this great filter. Just imagine, like, used to reading Bible verses. Corinthians got this, and oh, dang! That's what we're supposed to be doing? That's supposed to live? Everything? Surely Paul didn't mean everything. Everything? Do everything in love. See, it's a filter. It's got to get through that. Imagine some sort of wall, you know, but it's a wall that you can walk through. It's kind of little PQ. I don't know why. It's got a PQ in my mind. And in order to get to the other side of it, this is the way of love right here. In order to get to the other side, you've got to cross through those emotions, your responses. To do anything, you've got to cross through that thing so that whatever comes out on the other side expresses love. So that whatever you do, whatever words come out of your mouth, whatever response comes out of your heart, what actions come out of you, is doing it in love. Because this is the greatest commandment. It's all encompassing. See, this, it's not a part of our life. It's not an extracurricular activity. It's our life. Our life is the greatest commandment. Our life is the filter, the greatest commandment. Oh, man, things go bad without it, though. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 2. Paul's talking about ministering in the gifts of the Spirit, but he could have been talking about anything. Because the same case would have been true. He said this, if I have the gift of prophecy and I have all mysteries, I'm the man, and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. It doesn't matter what I accomplish in my life, if I don't do it, it has of no value. It winds up equating to nothing. Because the way of love is supposed to be motive of the overflow. It's supposed to be what's happening. It's supposed to be an overflow of that love. He says, listen, if I can do this, and again, you could have changed all those from gifts of the Spirit to acts of service. If I can build somebody, you know, a bunker in their heart to save themselves from the next time that COVID hits. If I can, you know, do this, if I can take care of people, if I can buy all the meals and for everybody in the church, buy, to Andy's point earlier, buy all the store paper and make it sound like, then give everybody toilet paper, but I do it without love, it doesn't count. It's nothing. See, the great filter for our response, our actions, is supposed to be love. Don't do anything outside of love. When you do, it was nothing. Do it all in love. But here's what it comes down to. Conscious, day-to-day choice. Moment-to-moment choice. You can do really bad moment and then reset yourself and do well the next moment. Choice. It's a decision. Looking at Colossians 15. beyond all these on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I just love that put on love like a jacket. And you can take it off, you can put it on. Put on love. Put on love. It's a conscious, day-to-day, moment-to-moment decision that I'm going to dial down, and I'm going to let my response to my kid come through the lens of love. That I'm going to dial down, and this person that really just ticked me off, I'm going to respond to them out of love, not out of just whatever my knee-jerk reaction would be. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to put it on like a jacket, because I don't feel it, because I'm not particularly excited about what just occurred. I'm going to put on love intentionally. I'm going to put on the greatest commandment, the way that I interact with the Lord, and in the way that I interact. One of the sessions we're going to do here shortly is the connection point between the greatest commandment and the greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's an overflow. But it's all connected. This concept, walking in the way of love, but it's a conscious choice. And when we choose to do the other, we actually detach. We separate ourselves from the divine purpose of which we were put on the earth, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, and strength. Hopefully, we have 1 second later, we can change our mind. 1 second, we go, no, I'm putting on the way of love. I'm gonna fix that thing I just said to that person. I'm gonna go make it right. I'm gonna put on the way of love. It's a governing principle. It's the way we're to live. 1 John 4:16. Whoever lives in love, love in God. I want to say it this way. When we live in love, when we respond, we put on love, we respond. The benefit of this is so powerful, we get to encounter God. Because God is love, so if we're operating in love, saying something in love, responding in love, praying for somebody in love, if we're operating in love, we're actually having an on-ramp to encounter the Lord. Which is part of the process. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's, we want our hearts alive. When we operate in love, when we walk in love, we get to encounter God more. And I don't know about you, I want that more than anything. I just want to encounter God. And I know I'm nicer to you. You know, I do a lot of things better when I encounter God. And it's really simple. Walk in the way of love. Whoever lives in love is living in that moment, living in God, because God is love. They're living in his purpose. They're living in his way. And by living in it, you get to experience it. You get to encounter it. We want to start looking at our days as opportunities for encountering the Lord by acting, operating, responding, and processing with love as our governing principles. Because the more that you do, the easier it is. About it, as far as we're in worship. And I laugh at 4-year-old Brad, 20-year-old Brad. 20-year-old Brad was a mess. 4-year-old issues. But 20-year-old Brad, I just remember how distracted and how difficult it was for us. I became distracted and focused. It was if I got distracted in a moment to come back to focus. I just remember how difficult that was. Here's what's different about 40-year-old Brad. I've spent the last 2 years of life trying to learn how to focus to love the Lord. And so now, my kid's going crazy. I've got to take him out of the room and discipline him. And I've got to come back in here. I'm one back in God's presence. 10 seconds, not 10 minutes. 1 second. And I was thinking about this, and all of us have just been experiencing so much related to water being off and power being off and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you've got hot water running through your pipes and you turn the water off for minutes, the water back on, it's still hot. But if you turn the water off for 10 minutes, well, then water back on for a while, it's going to warm up a little bit. We want to be a people that are constantly connecting with the Holy Spirit. Walking in the way of love. So yeah, it's fine. Go ahead and turn that water off for 15 seconds. Turn it off for a couple minutes. It's fine. I'll be back in just a moment. We want to be a people that are living with that hot water coming through the lines, where our hearts are soft, where we don't need a season to reconnect to Jesus. We don't need, you know, dial down for 30 minutes or an hour before you can connect with God again. We want to be a people that way. But the way that we do it is we can't just have God. We got to live connected to God. That's what the greatest commandment's all about. It's not about having a quiet time. It's about having a quiet life. It's about living connected to him. Literally thinking about it, this decision, I want to honor you with it. I want you to let me feel you as I say something nice to this person that's being... It's about you and me, but it's about me and them. Like, I want you to see me. I want you to know my heart. I want to know God. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to do your will. And as I do, I want to feel you. I want to encounter your presence. And the more that we do that, the way that we live, oh my God, actions can come and they're just as easily as they came. Because you take the thing, we were not created to live devoid of connectivity to the Holy Spirit. We were not created to be connected to God through His Spirit as a normal thing, as a normal process. But it comes down to living in love. I want to go beyond the times during your day or your week that you get into the Word and read. Do that. That's really good. This is so much more than that, plus being attentive all day long. How response connected to the grace? I want to give you the filter questions again. Did I say that with that thing I just said? The thing I'm about to say, was I think God at all? We want to be so heavenly minded. We want to be so in all right here. He's in the car. He's with us. We want to be so connected to that reality. It starts to actually govern our life. Was that love? Motive in the reason I said that, I did that, I approached them, I didn't do that thing, was my motive, or was it something else? Lord, help me find my motives. Was I thinking about that one? You have that little moment that happened, like even, was that part of it at all? I do it my own day. Man doesn't even know his own way. And he's in his own heart to lead him astray. What if we were governed by the greatest commandment in our decisions, in our conversations? What if we were governed by something we really start to look at it as a problem, not just a victory? Hey, I thought about the greatest commandment once today. We go the opposite and go, oh man, there were three times. I didn't even think about it. There were three times today. I didn't even cross my mind. Lord, help me. I want to be connected. I want to live in the way of love. I don't want to dip into the way of love. You skip a rock across the water, and we celebrate how many times it touches. But what about the distance between those skips? There's so much water that rock didn't touch. We want to be people that are, we're encountering the love of God because we're living in the way of love. We're thinking about it in our conversation, in our interaction, in our text response, in our heart response. We got it. We're thinking about, oh, God, help me. I'll tell you what, the more I labor in this, the more I go, oh, God, help me, love you, help me, I'm going to mess it up. Not, I'm going to mess it up and you're going to be mad. I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to get disconnected from you. I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to miss out on what I could have had. I'm going to mess it up, not a condemnation issue. I don't want to live detached from the purpose why I'm on the earth. I was put here to love God. I don't want to live not loving God for 15 seconds. What a waste. That was 15 seconds it's wasted. The more that I think about it, the more I labor on that, the more real it is. The more real the fight is. And the more grace the Lord gives because He's grace to the humble. I think our problem is we all think we're fine. Oh, we're good. I got it. My relationship with Jesus is good. Yep, I'm more mature this year than I was last year. Good, but so what? Don't you want more than that? No, I'm good. Well, as long as you're good, you're not hungry. And He gives food to the hungry ones. I want to live hungry and thirsty. I want to be one that's constantly going, more. Help, fix, help, heal, help. And the more engaged I am in that conversation, God, help me to love you. The more I feel Him helping me, the more fully I am to come back into His presence, the more ready I am to repent for when I do something to you, or when reminds me of something I told with. Oh my gosh, it's just such a beautiful way to live. How does this current reflect loving God with all my heart? This current moment, how does it reflect it? That's where I'll see somebody in a need in a moment, and I'm just busy about my life, and I feel the greatest commandment touch me. That's what God, with this need, you can hard body, cause you to do all kinds of stuff. It's not actually even most person. I mean, that's good too. It's actually mostly about taking advantage of a moment to love God with strength, with all my mind, with all my soul, my emotion. How does attitude of loving God with all my heart? Oh my gosh, this is just bad. This is just ugly. It's insulting. How does my attitude? Because the problem is, you can be smiling on the outside and thinking us all out, but inside you're filled with murder. Inside your heart is raging. You're just filled with anger. It's like, God, help my attitude. Help my attitude reflect the greatest commitment to love you with all my heart. So why am I so bumped? Why is it when someone bumps me, I'm so easily offended? Why am I so easily distraught? Is that little thing, like, how big of a deal is that little thing really in light of eternity? Shaking their head on it sometimes. Why are you so bothered about whatever dumb thing? What is it in again? I don't know, I'm just mad still. From what? I don't even remember. I'm just mad. Man, Lord, help us in our attitude. Let's think about the attitude. Do the attitude check and just ask yourself, how does this current attitude reflect the greatest commandment? Just go ahead and have yourself a little pity party there and allow the Holy Spirit to go, no, friend, that's done. Gent and ask for help you. Oh, because so much life is lived with this. So much of what happens all happens in the heart. I don't want to just look good on the outside and put some lipstick on a pig. Still a pig. I want to have my inner washed by the greatest commandment. We can look at the greatest commandment as the manual for life and as the filter for decision making, for attitude adjustments. You go, oh my gosh, Lord, how did I get so off? It's amazing how quickly, of course. I mean, you worship, and you're feeling it, and then something happens. Typically, some person is doing something to you, at least in my experience. And all of a sudden, I'm like, it's raging. The battle is raging within me. What is with me? Good Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Help me. And he will. When we turn it into a conversation with him, we look for help. Because it's not, I just want to make this clear. This isn't a point of condemnation when you're not walking in the greatest commandment. It's the constant invitation. And it's really an invitation not to do it so you can get a high five. It's to walk in love so you can feel God. In love so that you can operate that the King has designed you to feel better when you feel better. Your emotions. God made them. He likes you feeling that way. You feel better. You feel older, fuller, a lot of hurt. You feel hurt when you are loving well. And you feel good. You're designed that way. If we can start thinking about the greatest commandment as that question we want to ask ourselves a few dozen times a day. How is this moment reflecting on it? Handling the disappointment. I'm not saying that you don't have conversations with your spouse that get a little fellowship. I know we have them in our house. I'm not saying that you don't have moments that are very disappointing. I'm saying, are you focused on whatever that is? I'm talking to the Lord about it. But Lord, help me in the way that I'm talking about this, in the way that I'm ministering, in the way that I'm praying. Commandment to be like a really significant part of the conversation. Please help me. You said it was greatest on purpose. You said it was important from heaven. So help me be good at it. Here's what I think the invitation is this morning. Let's go. I mean, that's a pretty radical idea, really, if you think about it. Think greatest commandment 20 times a day. In 20 different moments that require 20 different responses. Think about the greatest commandment. That's a pretty radical way to live. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Let's do it. Let's just go for it. Let's be a people that live that way. Let's go for it. Let's make a divine reset this morning. The Holy Spirit would give us power to go, I want this to get really real for me. I don't want to hear the message. I want it to change the way I answer the phone. I want it to change the way I respond to that person that... I want it to change the way... Because I'm processing all my heart and strength and responses and text messages. I want to love you. All of my traffic. I want to love you. Like, for real. Let's just do it. Let's ask the Lord this morning for grace to tend on this and go for it. And it's not a message. That's an opportunity. It's an honor. But here's the problem. You're human. And you have a free will. And you get to choose. And there is a battle. There is a conflict that is within you. Let's put up that verse in Galatians 5, 16 through 17. Think about the conversation we've just been having and now insert it into this passage. Think about as the first aging of the war. Think about this whole to have the greatest commandment be first. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh which you can't shake, it doesn't go anywhere. You are stuck with that flesh. That desire. Which is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is in you. There's what is contrary to the flesh. They are in it. You are a house divided, and you're trying to do the best you can to make things right, day to day, moment to moment, because you're in conflict, because you have flesh, and that flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Your flesh frequently desires things that are not going to help you with it. But the Spirit is there, and He's desiring constantly for the greatest to be great in that. He's desiring, but you've just settled the fact, I'm in a war, so don't lay down your guns. Don't lay down and just take a nap. Fight. You've got to labor, and that's why I'm saying that whole little practical, what about 20 times a day, thinking about the greatest commitment as it pertains to this situation, this conversation, this response, this email respond to. Oh, I'm vulnerable, right? Type. You ever find yourself typing like this? Hey, Jesus. Probably need to back off. Help me think about the greatest commandment in my response to this email. In fact, right now, I think we're just going to not respond to that because I'm a little bit too much in my flesh is desiring what is contrary to the Spirit at this moment. Wind up in jail. So help me. Because they are in conflict with each other so that you are to do whatever you want. I want to say that. You don't have the right to do whatever you want. You don't have the right to say whatever you want. To voice whatever you want. You don't. To reply however you want. To do whatever you want. You don't have that right. You are no longer yours. You are bought with a price. The life I'm living, you live for the Son of God. Don't do whatever you want. Do whatever the Spirit wants. See, because both the truth of the matter is Him and His creation. Your flesh has a voice, and so does the Spirit. It's for you. Both. And there's a war in there. Don't give in to what your wants. Give in to what the Spirit wants. There's a real fight. But you got to decide to win. It's a moment-to-moment thing. That's we don't want to be thinking only in terms of do it for a decade or two or ten. You want to be thinking about, did I do it in the last 10 months? You want to get down to the micro, okay? Because here's what it says, Galatians 9, 24 through 25, a little bit later in that section. It says, belong to Christ Jesus, justified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Sin by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit, I'm just going to say it a little differently. Think about the greatest commandment now and again later and again later. Because what the desires at all times is that you would live a great life. I guarantee you, what the Holy Spirit wants, He wants that too. At all times. The way we keep in step with the Spirit, we're thinking about what the Spirit wanted. Jesus with my mind, solutions, and strength in this moment. How are we doing? He says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. If you find yourself getting a little bit out of step, in the flesh, a little bit in a mood, a little bit in a negative response, humble yourself for the world good things. Don't go another hour unrepentant. Repent to the Lord for getting out of the Holy Spirit mood, and repent to whatever human you just bought. Repent to whatever person you just irked. Whatever you did that was not a good thing, repent. Because when you're humble, he gives you grace. And you can actually have more power to love God again right then. In fact, the funniest thing, it's so funny, I don't know how many times I've experienced, after making whatever mistake I make, if I'll actually humble myself, and I'll repent to the person, and I'll repent to the Lord, in that moment, I feel the Lord's grace, I want even better off than had I not made the mistake and not repented. It's bizarre. He gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, he moves on. He wants to empower you to do the most important thing in your life, and that's to love. He wants to give you power to do it. We got to set ourselves. Romans 8:5, we'll finish up. Worship team, you can come on up. Those who live according to the flesh, they have their mindset. You remember being lost? Remember giving your life to Jesus and really, really struggling with this one? Having your mind set on what the flesh desires. Mindset. You're thinking about it a lot. You're processing a lot about having your mind set on the things that the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, they have their mind set. They have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. I want to have my mind set. I want to be distracted. The greatest commandment to be what I'm thinking about mostly. It's not that other thoughts don't come in there, but I'm processing them through the thing I've been thinking about. You ever have one of those seasons where whatever's on your mind shows up in your dreams? It's like you're processing even your sleepy time, whatever it was that was on your mind. I want to be processing my whole life through the greatest commandment. Processing everything through what the Spirit desires. Guys, I want to tell you something. This is not a high and lofty, weird thing. This could be your life. You can really live this way. What I want to do in this time of response is I want us to focus on the Lord giving us grace to set ourselves. I will be a great heaven God. Greatest commandment, Mom. I'll be the greatest commandment kid. I'm going to be one with my mind set on what the Spirit desires, that I would grow about. I would be processing my decisions and my responses and my moments and my downtime. I'd be processing it through the greatest commandment. And as he will give you credit, and your life will be up, at least on the inside. I can't help whatever bad things happen to you outside. But man, I'm telling you, you can have a heart of love. It's a governing principle for us.